Lives of People and Associated Hash Brains. This is Gary, and this is I'll Have a Beer and Talk, a show that I try to explain in a couple different ways each week. The gist is, I am presented with a randomly selected craft beer, I tell you a little bit about it, then I try it for the first time and give you my honest reaction. To save you from just listening to me drink in silence, I then regale you with six technology-related stories that I thought were interesting that you may have missed from the previous week while I enjoy the beer, finishing out with a funny and/or weird animal story right about the time that I've finished the beer. It's the only podcast produced in an undisclosed location somewhere underneath Portland, Oregon, that has me talking about beer and technology. If there was another one that met that description, I'd be very, very disturbed. To choose the random beer I mentioned, I use a thing. It's called the randomizer. It's like a Wheel of Fortune. Just take my word for it. It's really a thing, not just a sound effect. Haha! This week I shall be drinking Black Raven Brewing Company's Grandfather Raven, a 9.5% ABV Imperial Stout with notes of dark caramel, chocolate, and hints of coffee. That's so Raven. The name of this style can be explained in two parts, and I'll go in reverse order. The stout part is the name of this style of beer. Stouts are made with dark roasted malts and are known for being dark, often with chocolate or coffee notes. They are good, sturdy beers that pair well with cold winter evenings. The imperial part is a variation on the style. Supposedly, the imperial term is a reference to brewers attempting to impress the Russian Tsar in the 1800s by, you guessed it, boosting both the alcohol content of the beer and the malt aspects, embiggening the chocolate and coffee notes, and augmenting with some roasty burnt flavors. I shall now transition to the beer mic with a sound effect, as is my tradition. Immediately upon opening that, the entire I'll Have a Beer and Talk bunker was filled with the smell of chocolate cake, so this bodes very well for this stout. Unsurprisingly, it is pitch black and has a nice tan head, so let's see if it tastes like chocolate cake. Oh, this is the kind of stout you like to slip into in a cold winter evening. Actually, the taste has much stronger coffee notes than the smell of chocolate cake would lead you to believe. This is nice and bitter, very smooth. Smooth mouthfeel altogether, and just, it's a thing of beauty. Fun fact, beer is pretty much made from four major elements: water, barley, yeast, and hops. To put it simply, water is the medium in which the magic happens, barley creates sugar, yeast eats the sugar and produces alcohol, and hops stabilize the brew and add flavor. While the sexier elements of beer making, the hops and the yeasties, have commanded the attention of beer aficionados due to their role in the taste, barley has been ignored, toiling in obscurity and only thought of as where the sugars for fermentation come from, not a source of distinct flavor in on its own right. According to Atlas Obscura, new research coming out of Oregon State University, which is near me, has proven that, yes, distinct strains of barley produce different beer flavors. The appropriately named research group Barley World at OSU collaborated with their peers at Sainsbury Laboratory in Britain to create some new barley strains to see if, in fact, they has a flavor. They crossbred two kinds of barley, British Golden Promise and OSU's own Full Pint. From the barley love affair came hundreds of new strains, which were then planted by the researchers near OSU. After harvesting the barley, Barley World worked with local brewers to produce 150, quote, micro batches of beer, each batch producing one single bottle of beer. Then what was probably the best part of the research began, tasting and rating the beer. Judges made their judgment based on the flavor properties compared against a control, amusingly referred to as a, quote, industry standard control beer. I'll leave the speculation as to which beer that would be up to you. The beer made with the Golden Promise barley had floral aspects, and the Full Pint had a toastier taste, so the crossbred strains had different flavor balances between the two. The results of the experiments were published in two studies, and the researchers proudly proclaimed that they fully debunked the, quote, widely held brewing trade opinion that any flavor barley imparts on beer was due to the malting process and not from the barley itself. Barley finally gets its due. Someday, robots will take all of our jobs. It's coming soon, and there's not a whole lot we can do about it because capitalism. it probably won't be all doom and gloom. In fact, I look forward to the day when a robot can clean out the cat box for me and let the chickens out of the coop every morning at sunrise. That gets old real fast. To get robots to that level of sophistication is quite complicated. Assuming one has already constructed a robot physically capable of accomplishing those tasks, the machine mind needs to know the steps necessary to achieve a goal, and how to do it safely. One way to teach a robot how to accomplish a task is a lot like how one would teach a small human, otherwise known as a child. Practice until you get it right. It's called deep reinforcement learning, and in the context of machine learning, it has an extra complication. Currently, a robot's physical testing environment needs to be reset to its original state each time a robot makes a mistake by its human observers. This is extremely time-consuming, but luckily a new research paper lays out a way to smooth over that friction point. It's essentially an undo button, and this story caught my eye at the MIT Technology Review. Researchers from Google Brain, the University of Cambridge, the Max Planck Institute for Intelligent Systems, and UC Berkeley... What, no Cyberdyne systems? Proposed a method to teach an autonomous agent, which is also known as a robot, to reset the testing environment itself and stop actions it determines would be irreversible. They aim to give the robots the, quote, intuition that certain actions are safe because it's possible to reverse the action back to its original state. As the robot figures out, by trial and error, how to accomplish a task given, it increases its memory of what actions are reversible, allowing it to continually experiment with its actions. This becomes a positive feedback loop. It tries multiple approaches to accomplish tasks, avoiding those actions that wouldn't be able to be undone, and learns new techniques along the way. You see, the robot learns how to be better than you at your job, and takes it from you because that would be a reversible action. But don't worry, the robot won't actually kill you because that would be an irreversible action. Doesn't the future sound great? Well, hopefully robots will never replace humans at their most important job. Purchasing things from Amazon. And I have good news on that front. Amazon's order delivery by drone program is still buzzing along, as evidenced by a recent patent granted to Amazon, as reported by The Verge. The patent details the, quote, direct fragmentation for unmanned airborne vehicles, which is essentially a self-destruct mode for drones. So why the hell would Amazon want their drones to self-destruct? Well, say a delivery drone is happily flying over a park, carrying the latest overpriced Apple device you just ordered, and a propeller fails, or a battery explodes, or an eagle takes out a chunk of its frame. Its flight ability becomes compromised, so it begins ejecting components of itself, via either hooks, springs, or small explosive charges, in an attempt to regain flight capability or to reduce its overall mass, changing it from one large falling object to several smaller, lighter objects falling from the sky. The patent details that the drone would jettison objects based on their value, so your device would be one of the last things it gives up to gravity. If this patent's ideas do end up in the eventual standard Amazon delivery drone, I hope the self-destruct protocols can't be accessed remotely. I imagine thieves hiding in trees with transmitters, sending out the command code 000-destruct-0, and making off with my stuff. Package thieves of the future! One place where you probably won't have to worry about self-destructing drones falling from the sky is at this show's sponsor, Pulp & Deckel. Pulp & Deckel is Portland's only community handmade papermaking studio, and handmade papermaking is a job that robots can never take because robots lack human hands. Pulp & Deckel's mission is to keep the art of papermaking alive with workshops, demonstrations, creating and selling beautiful handmade paper products, and working with artists in creating all styles of art through the medium of papermaking. Browse a rotating selection of papermaking workshops, inquire about custom orders, take an online recycled papermaking class, and check out all the amazing things we do with the ancient art of papermaking by visiting pulpanddeckel.com. That is pulpanddeckle.com. Mention I'll have a beer and talk. We might give you something special. You may think your job is unique enough that it's safe from robots taking it over, but if you're a black metal band, watch out. Humanity's days of dominance in the black metal genre are coming to an end. At least that's what I think after reading the story on Digital Trends. Zach Zukowski and CJ Carr are the human minds behind DadaBots, a project that teaches AI to generate music that sounds as if it came from regular squishy humans. They took Kralis's 2011 album Diotima, broke down the audio into small chunks, and fed those chunks into their AI algorithm. As each chunk was analyzed, the AI was tasked with figuring out how the music would progress past that small segment. If its guess was close to reality, that part of its neural network would be strengthened and be prioritized for use on the next prediction segment. If the AI predicted poorly, that path in the neural network would be depreciated, so the network would start to be optimized to understand how black metal should sound. But it did take a while. The chunk predicting process was repeated as many as 5 million times over the course of 3 days. Early in its training, the kinds of sounds it produces are very noisy and grotesque and textural, Kara told The Outline. As it improves its training, you start hearing elements of the original music it was trained on come through more and more. Once the original music was created, the duo then had the AI use a similar procedure to create the track titles and the name of the album itself, which came out as Codetani of Timeness. The album and other Dadabot audio experiments are all available for free at dadabots.bandcamp.com. That is dadabots.bandcamp.com. Okay, now I'm curious. Black metal isn't a genre I particularly enjoy, but let's, you know, give one of those tracks a listen. Here's one entitled Timension. Enjoy. Wow, that was pretty noisy. I think I heard a little burial in the middle, too. Interesting. Again, this is not a genre that I'm very familiar with, but if any of my listeners are familiar with it and have an opinion, let me know. Do you know how your best ideas usually come to you in the shower? It's actually a real thing that really happens. Something about the combination of dopamines being released due to the sensation of warm water, the generally relaxing act itself, and the pleasant distraction from everyday thoughts by being in such a nice environment frees up some brain processor cycles so the subconscious can indulge in some creative problem-solving. Slashgear reports that hotel chain Marriott sees this shower brainwave connection as an opportunity to entice more business travelers to stay with them with a new feature in their hotel room showers. It's not porn. If you jot down your shower thoughts on the foggy shower door, it can record them digitally for you. The special door is called Splash of Brilliance. Ha ha ha. A touch-sensitive layer in the shower door records the guest's doodles. When the guest is done, they can tap an area of the shower door, which then saves the image and emails it to them. Marriott Hotels promises to embrace the pace of change. We are constantly looking for new ways to use technology to enhance our guest experience, said Matthew Carroll, Marriott's vice president and global brand manager. The Splash of Brilliant shower doors will be installed as part of a 2-month pilot program at Marriott's Irvine Hotel in Irvine, California. Interesting. Although, I don't think I've ever been fancy enough to have an actual shower door when I stay at a hotel. Just those weird clingy shower curtains. Well, I can always dream. Yeah, after doing this for more than 2 years and over 100 episodes, a funny thing happened during the evolution of what you're hearing right now. I kept finding myself amused and reading about all the wacky, techie things that Domino's Pizza would do to increase the brand visibility with geeks. Then I started seeing how several fast food companies have been doing the same thing. So I created a semi-regular show segment called Pizza Tech to let you know that these bizarre things are actually real. Mashable reports that Domino's is at it again, and this time they're starting a baby registry. You heard me correctly, a baby registry. I guess it was only a matter of time since they launched a wedding registry a little while back. So what kinds of things does Domino's offer for incoming babies? This is where they get a little clever. The items available on the registry are some amusing things. A maternity shirt proclaiming pizza for two, please. And an adult t-shirt depicting a pizza pie missing one slice and a matching baby shirt depicting that missing slice. A onesie that claims, Daddy loves me more than pizza. I certainly hope so. A coffee mug that says, slice, slice, baby. You get the idea. But it also has special pizza packs. Combinations of different Domino's menu items designed to keep the expecting or new parents fed while they can't deal with anything anymore because of the needs of their spawn. The packs have amusing names as well, such as Hormonal and Hangry, Dad Chiller Party, The Gender Reveal, and Newborn Lockdown, to name a few. And all that's fun and all, but the most horrifying thing they offer that I fear to look into is a fabulous diaper pizza. Gross. Human rituals about their offspring are so, so weird and confusing. I have a strange fondness for cryptozoology, the real-world study of mythical monsters, such as the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, and Bigfoot, also known as Sasquatch. I know these mysterious beasts aren't real and will probably never be proved to exist, but never say never. Gorillas were considered a myth until 1847, and living specimens weren't seen by Europeans until a decade after that. Still, it's highly unlikely that any of the current unproven X-creatures are real. In fact, the Yeti has been pretty much proven to just be a bear. I saw this on a couple of my regular blogs, so I'm going to link to Slashdot story. The Yeti, the Himalayan version of Sasquatch, has always been an interesting X-creature because of the abundance of what is claimed to be physical evidence. Hair samples, scat, teeth, bones, things like that. The mitochondrial DNA of those samples has been tested, and the DNA does not indicate a primate or something unknown, but instead resembles the DNA of bears. Evolutionary biologist Charlotte Lindquist, who is the University of Buffalo's faculty expert on bear genomics, wanted to follow up on those studies and tested 15 local bear DNA samples and the DNA of 9 of those supposed Yeti samples. 8 out of those 9 Yeti samples matched the DNA of the local bear samples, with the 1 non-bear sample turning out to be from a dog. Now, this may seem a little pointless, aggressively disproving the Yeti, but the data collected has actually helped generate the first full mitochondrial genomes of 2 species of Himalayan bear, the Himalayan brown bear and the Himalayan black bear. The first interesting result of this new information is the discovery that the Himalayan brown bear and the Himalayan black bear have distinct DNA differences and seem to not be related subspecies as had been previously thought. Go bears! Surprise us with your genetic history and not with your teeth and claws. Anyway, if Bigfoot does learn that its Yeti cousin doesn't actually exist, I'd keep an ear out to...
Listen to Bigfoot, a mournful scream.
This show is not only supported by Pulp and Deckel, it's supported by listeners just like you. You're just like you, right? If you get value or entertainment from this show, maybe you too would like to support me? You can always hire me for some voice and audio production work. I can do voicemail messages, mediocre acting, bad singing, and some adequate audio production. If you feel you or someone you know might have a use for the best part of my body, which happens to be my voice and parts of my brain, let me know. Email me at gary@pulpanddeckel.com. That is gary@pulpanddeckel.com. Rates are, believe it or not, reasonable. And if you could be so kind to rate and review the show on iTunes, the more iHabat's discoverability will go up for people looking for technology podcasts that have beer on iTunes. And if you can also support the show with money, I can tell you how to do that. If you enjoy my show each week, you can donate at least $1 a month to the production costs at patreon.com/iHabitRadio. That is patreon.com/iHabitRadio. Go to patreon.com/ihaveitradio and become my patron. You'll be joining a very attractive and intelligent group that already support me there. And to those very, very awesome people, I can't do this without you. Thank you! And I finished consuming the Grandfather Raven. It was so raven. Oh well, that means it's time for me to go. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, pets, plants, aliens, and Yeti, even if they don't exist, about the show, and that they can find it on Google Play Music, on iTunes, on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and on Spreaker. And please send me feedback, story suggestions, and beer recommendations to GaryAtPulpAndDeckle.com, or on the Twitters and Instagram at iHabitRadio, or even on the Facebook at Facebook.com/iHabitRadio. It's time for me to go. I will see you in the future. Bye-bye!